The PK Podcast.
Welcome
to the PK Podcast.
You finished the whole thing. I wanted to go in too.
My bad.
Hey, it's me, Nicholas Rodriguez, one of your hosts. The other host, Juan Rodriguez. He's my dad.
That's me.
He's my dad. He's a pastor. Mm-hmm. He is large in charge. And I'm his son, Lil Nick. I'm Lil and I'm Nick. He's a pastor. I'm his kid. That's what the PK Podcast is.
That's what it is.
Talk about life, love, and spirituality through the eyes of a pastor.
And his son.
That's right. That's right, baby. So, every season, we like to do a little something-something.
That's right.
A little Q&A action.
Q&A.
And so we wanted to continue that. I think there's two constants in each season, and that's been a dreams episode and a Q&A episode. And I'm not running out of dreams anytime soon, so those aren't going away, and neither is this. Let's just jump right into it. We asked some questions to you, to the listeners, to friends, to family, to answer or no, to ask questions that we could answer.
That's right.
They range from many different topics. And Dad, you want to hit it with you? You want to just jump in? You want to just hit it with
sure.
your one first or
right.
mine
yeah,
first?
Yeah, yeah.
I can
no, no.
I can pull out whatever.
All right, this one comes from Facebook.
Okay,
yes.
Facebook, nice.
Yes. And it's a question from, I'm not quite sure if it's from Pastor Ryan Amos or his wife because they share an account.
Okay,
so
a couple of lovebirds, I see.
Yep, so they share an account, so it's going to come from one of them. But here is the question.
Okay.
And they are from Jacksonville, by the way.
Yeah.
Yep. Here we go.
You just dox them. You just give their address. Okay, go for it. Go for it.
All right. Are you ready?
Yes, yes, yes. The Amoses.
This actually is a question for you.
For me specifically?
Yes.
Okay.
As a pastor.
I'm not a pastor.
What did your dad see that part?
Oh.
What did your dad do that kept you in the church?
What did you do that kept me in the church?
I forced you to go to church.
Yeah. it's quite simple.
He dragged me
out of bed.
Beat his butt.
And he dragged me out of bed by my ankle, and he grabbed me, and he'd do the Hulk thing where he smashes me on the ground back and forth
over
and over again until I wake up.
Mm-hmm.
And then I would go to church with enough clothes to cover my wounds.
That's right, because I beat him if he didn't go.
But I mean, actually, when I
all
was
all pastors should
okay.
beat their kids.
Oh my gosh!
Sorry, sorry.
This is an evil podcast.
All pastors should beat their kids.
You're
and make
dark
them go to church.
Juan. You're dark Juan right now. This is evil Juan.
Oh,
do you remember
mercy.
I asked you what your villain name would be? Do you remember what it is?
I forgot.
Juanito Rodrigo.
Juanito Rodrigo.
this is the evil alternate Juanito Rodrigo.
Juanito Rodrigo.
Stop!
All right, answer the question.
Well, I mean, as a kid, you just took me to church. Like, it was just life.
Right.
But staying in the church, I don't think my dad did anything to make me stay in the church. I think what my dad did was be a good dad above all else, and he was honest with me and pushed me to make my own decisions and to have my own views. To the point to where, I mean, at multiple times in my life, I doubted the existence of God and the need to go to church.
Mm.
And my dad was never like, you know, you're wrong. You're going to pay for this. He was always like, man, I'm sorry that you're going through such a tough time right now. You know, and that was always what it was. And then I'd ask him, you know, he wouldn't even come up to me. He would pray for me. I'm talking about you like you're not here. You would pray for me, and then you would wait for me to come to you with questions.
Mm.
And then I watched the V for Vendetta. Remember that? We got to talk about that on the podcast.
Episode.
I had people asking me like.
The first season.
I watched V for Vendetta after I heard that podcast episode, and I don't get it. Like, how did that show you God? And I was like, bro, I talk about it on the podcast. Just listen. But anyways. So I think above all, the way that I was kept in the church was the example of a great father. That's it.
There you go.
It, very, very simple. Again, he just showed me, he was just honest with me and was truthful with me and respected whenever I would go off course. He respected my space and loved me through all of it. And that was something that, you know, the ultimate thing that my father told me while I was going through it was that you told me at the end of the day to believe in nothing or believe in something, you're going to have to take a leap of faith either way. So just decide where you're leaping, you know? And I was like, man, this love that my dad has for me to tell me something like that, right? I mean, this is, you know, he's a man of God. He learned this through God, regardless if he is real or not, right? He has become a great man in part, mostly because he believes that he is real and that he does love him. So why would I not want to do that? You know? So then that's just what I do.
So you left out the part where I said, and if you do end up believing in nothing, you will go to hell.
Yeah, I did. I left out the part where he goes, but in one direction, you will leap and you will continue to fall and die and burn in the flames of hell. And I will look down at you from heaven and laugh. And then he goes,
and that scared him right into the church.
That was, yeah. All he had to do, it really is.
Just kidding.
I think the most simple way of putting it is fear tactics. That's how my dad kept me in the church. But I mean, at the end of the day, listen, okay, legitimately, all jokes aside, like, yes, fear tactics, ha 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 ha, very funny. But, like, here I am doing this podcast with you. This podcast was my idea.
It was your idea.
Right? So at the end of the day, what you have promoted me to do isn't just stay in the church, but is to be passionate to talk about these kinds of things with you.
Yeah.
Because when it comes to spirituality, you are the person that I trust the most to talk to about this with.
There you go.
So, ba-boom, done and done. Try something harder next time, Amoses.
Be real.
Give me a challenge.
Hey, lots of prayer.
Yes, lots of prayer.
That's the key to all things.
Yeah, it's funny that he asked me that question. He asked me that question and not you that question.
I'm just saying, lots of prayer.
Okay. No. That's not what I meant. That's not what I meant when I said that.
Oh, okay.
What I meant was that it's funny that he asked me that question and not you that question,
right?
Because you're the one who did the stuff.
Yeah, but you're the one who experienced it.
That's true. But, I mean, if anything, the big thing is, it was less of what he did to me to make me stay in the church and more of what he decided to not do.
Bam.
Ba-boom. There you go, Amoses.
All right.
Go home.
Next question.
Do you not have any more questions?
No one else responded, in fact.
Real friends.
In fact, I'm going to check one more time before I delete the post.
Okay. Well, do you want me to go crazy on this? On my question, or do you want to look at your thing first?
I don't have any more.
So okay, don't worry about it. Let me switch over to my phone.
I'm deleting my junk right now.
Okay, here's one from Gadiel. Hello, Gadiel.
Hi.
He asked, how's your emotions been lately? Ha ha. And your dad's emotions.
Wow.
So how has our mental been? How is our emotional
lately
state? Lately.
Lately. Do you want to go first?
You can go first.
All right. Well, if you're talking about lately means that right now it is January 5 when we're recording
2022,
this.
2022, baby.
You might hear this pretty much like in the springtime of this year, maybe around April.
Yeah.
Around there is when you're going to hear this. So it won't really apply to April, but it'll apply to how I'm feeling right now.
Yeah, right at this moment.
January.
Right at this moment.
And so I'm actually going through a very tough time right now.
Yeah.
We just heard that my aunt, who is only 56 years old, is going to be transferred to hospice today. In fact, we were in the hospital all day yesterday. I was there with my mom. My aunt never got married. She doesn't have any kids. And so, really, she used to be my babysitter when I was a kid. So for her, we're kind of like her kids, and so we've had a close relationship in the past. And so it's very sad what she's going through right now. And it was caught us off guard. She's also a very private person, and she didn't tell anyone that she was feeling sick. She never went to the hospital, to doctors. And so she's been suffering with cancer for, the doctors believe, possibly 2 years. So anyways, by the time you hear this podcast, she would have passed away if God doesn't do a miracle. But if he does do a miracle, then I'm going to post that whenever we release this podcast. But anyways.
That'll be crazy, man.
But right now, I feel terrible. My heart is overwhelmed with, you know, sadness for her. So emotionally speaking, I'm struggling. And then also, there's other issues that are taking place within people that are close to me, and they're struggling as well. And so I was just pretty much in prayer this morning and giving to God all this feeling of overwhelmness and this burden that I had in my heart. I was giving it to God because I can't carry this. And so on top of that, there's a lot of things going on for and where I work in right now with Florida Conference Youth Ministries. And so somehow I have to start focusing on that in the midst of everything. And so that's a little bit overwhelming too. So, yeah, man, you weren't expecting that kind of response right now.
Maybe you was.
But there you go. That's how I'm feeling. But the good news is this, is that hopefully by the time you hear this, I'm going to be in a better place and feel a lot better.
Yeah.
So you won't have to worry about me, because in reality, we talked about this in a different episode this season. In reality, life is about this. You're either going into a storm, inside of a storm, or coming out of a storm. And right now, we're just in the middle of that storm, but trusting that God will pull us through and get us out of the storm so we can continue in this journey of life. Thanks for asking that question. That's what's my response.
And, you know, before I transition into my response, I want to say this. Anytime that my family is struggling, it does pain me, right? When I see you hurt, or if I see Mom hurt, or Boo Boo, or Alex, it brings me a pain, right? And it just, but it does bring me some form of happiness that, you know, a lot of parents are very closed off with their children. But, you know, here I am, and I'm sitting with you, and I know this is a podcast that's going to go out eventually. But right now, this is just a conversation between me and you.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know. We talked about this in the car, too, but it's just something that I really, really appreciate of you guys, because it makes me more in touch with my emotions, and it makes me able to be more vulnerable with people in my life. And it's, I mean, this whole thing, too, with my great aunt, I mean, obviously, I didn't have as close of a relationship with her as you guys did. But I do know that when I first heard it, I was more so just in shock.
Mm-hmm.
And then it turned into this sadness, because I have memories of her. And even though there were moments where I felt like I didn't even know her anymore, I knew that she loved me, and so I was kind of going through this conflict with that, where, because when she was with us, mainly when we were kids, you know, enough to the point to where I have a lot of memories of her, right?
Mm-hmm.
I knew that regardless of anything, regardless of what I didn't know about her, was that I knew that her love for me was real.
Mm-hmm.
So it was just, it was very strange. It created a conflict in my mind of, like, you know, I'm not in despair that this woman is, that my great aunt is dying.
Mm-hmm.
But it just made me think a lot
mm-hmm.
about things. And so it messed with me. And it was also just very interesting timing because of her being a very closed off person and everything like that. But besides that, if we're to transition into my response mm-hmm. of how I've been doing lately, I've been doing fantastic.
January 5 is a good day.
January 5 is a good day. January 4 was a great day. January 3 was a great day. This year has been great, man.
This 20, year, 2022 is looking good.
2022 has been fantastic. And that's not to say that 2022 hasn't had struggles, because it has. But man, I have never felt more at peace with myself. I feel so freaking good. And it's just like, man, these problems, they come up to me, things that have been lasting into the end of 2021, like right at the end, like I'm talking the 31st, right? Man, those things come up again, and it's like I feel so secure in myself.
Awesome.
So in reality, I've actually been doing really great. Cool. I've been doing fantastic. If we're talking lately, as in like within the past month, I was probably in the worst state of mind I've ever been in my entire life throughout November and December and some of October. Because I had something very large happen in my life, something very big that, you know, was a product of my own mistakes, but it evolved into something much greater that was messed up, that I had nothing to do with. And it was just, it tore me apart because I never had something happen like that in my entire life. And of course, I'm not going to get into specifics. This is a very, very sensitive subject, not necessarily for me anymore. But, you know, I don't know who's listening to this podcast. I don't know who's doing all this. I don't want to expose anybody. I don't even want to talk about the situation without naming names.
But now,
you know, I've grown so much within such a short amount of time. And I feel fantastic. I feel so good. I love myself. I love my friends. I love my family. I love my life. And I am so, I feel so focused. I feel so put together. So, Gadiel, I feel amazing.
Thank you, Gadiel, for those questions. Appreciate you, man.
Thank you. You said those questions. That was one question.
Sorry.
Jeez.
Thank you.
Really screwed
that
one
question.
Up.
That question. Thank you, G.
Dang. Thank you, G. Hey, yo. All right. Let's move on to another one. Nikki.
That's my niece-in-law.
Nikki, baby. All right. Let's go. She asks, so tell me, why do you think kids who grew up in church, when they get old enough that their parents let them make their decisions to go, and most of them don't go back?
So say that question again.
It's worded strangely. Nice going, Nikki. But it's worded kind of strangely. But what she's saying is that when kids are raised in the church, they grow up, and this generation of parents are saying it, you know, they give them the decision of whether or not they want to stay. They don't force it on them.
When they grow up, when you mean by grow up, like, you mean like they're like 15 and 16 and they give them the decision?
Well, she didn't make specifics.
Or you're 18, 19,
Let's just say you're old enough to make your own decisions.
Yeah, 18, 19, you're an adult.
You're an adult, right? Okay. And they say it's your choice. And then most of those kids decide to go out of the church. Maybe not leave the faith, I don't know.
Right,
but
right.
Like leave the church.
Right, okay.
I have an answer for this question. It's very short, though.
Answer
you probably have more to go.
Answer it, and I'll give you my 2, 3, 5 cents.
I think that it's a combination of what I said before about trust and honesty, right? Because if you raise your child in the church a certain way, and then only when they get to a certain age, you're like, oh, you have a choice, by the way. You know? It's like, well, what? Of course I'm going to choose not going because my entire experience being there sucked.
Mm-hmm. If it was a bad church, yeah.
Right. Or if it was a bad church, or if just like the values you were taught as a child by your family were very strict, right? Like, why am I going to go if I feel like it's constricting my life?
If you grew up like in a legalistic family or something like that?
Yeah, a legalistic or very conservative family or something like that, which if they're conservative, I doubt they're giving you the option in the first place. They're even presenting
it
to you.
Right.
But it's a combination of that. But I also think it's something I think that when you become an adult, it's very easy to let other things fill your time completely and not make the time to go to church and all that kind of stuff. You make yourself so busy, you make yourself so preoccupied, you make a bunch of plans, that church as a whole really kind of becomes an afterthought, right? So, yeah, that's it. I really just had that. I think a lot of people, they fill their time with stuff, you know, and they don't really consider that of importance. Right.
Yeah, distractions take you away.
Distracted by even things that aren't, like, little things. Like, distracted right. by work, by, like, things that you have to do to survive.
Right.
You know.
Right, exactly.
Anyways.
Well, this that's is, me. That's Nico. This is what I think. This is what I believe with all my heart. I think it's important for... When you're a parent with a child, if you're a Christian, it's important that you do take your child to church. I think that's part of where you want them to be able to learn more about Jesus together with other people and to enjoy that kind of friendship in people that you know, have friends. You have friends at school, some people have friends at school, people have friends at church. And so in an environment where they can grow together about God, I think it's important that we do that, right? And as they're growing older, obviously, you or whoever, the adult child, is going to make their own, I guess, conclusion of how church was for them.
Right.
You know, and they're going to make their own conclusion on what their experience was like. You know, mm-hmm. And for some people, it can be a very positive experience, and they would think about church life, and they're like, oh, man, I loved it. It was so much fun. We did so many things and stuff like that. Some people might look at their child and be like, oh, man, it was so boring. The sermon was always so boring. I hated it. I didn't have that many friends. You know, church for me just really sucked. So those are different experiences you can have. But ultimately, I believe that the most important thing that a person that growing up in a Christian home needs to happen is that, and I don't know if I've done this as well as I could have done, but I think if you are able to help your child learn to trust God, have a real relationship with them, have time for either family worships or just instill within them the importance of connecting with Jesus in a personal way, and then if that child is connecting with Jesus in a personal way, then when they grow older, church life just becomes a part of what they want to do and not that they're forced to do or don't want to be a part of it anymore. It's just a continuation of their already relationship with Jesus Christ. So I would say if parents would focus more on helping their kids have that relationship with Christ, then connecting with the church becomes a lot easier because it's just sort of what a person does because they want to be around other believers that love God and they want to worship him corporately together with other people. But if that connection with Christ isn't there and that relationship with Jesus isn't there, then church just becomes something that you have to do or that you grew up doing or that you were taught, you know, if you don't go, you won't be blessed by God. You know, and you have these guilty things. You go because out of guilt more than out of a love relationship. And really, love needs to be the reason by which you go, you know, to church. Because you love God, you love other people, and you want to hang around with them in an atmosphere where you're worshiping God together. So I think that, to me, is more important of how a person can stay there. Why do they leave? They leave because they don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ.
Right.
And so church going becomes a chore. It becomes a habit thing. And is not something that's real for them. And yeah. So I think that's the real reason why when young people go to church and they become adults, they choose not to go. The real reason is because they don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ. There could be some other reasons because there are people that do have a relationship with Christ, but they don't want to go to church because that church is not their style. They don't like it or whatever.
And there's not really a good church in their area.
There's not a good church in their area, but... For the most part, that's not the reason why.
Right, right.
You know? But that could be a legitimate reason. Some people like to be out in nature and worship God with nature and stuff like that, and so they kind of stay away from church because of relationship problems with other people. Whatever. I understand those things, and I understand. But for the most part, when it's just outright, I'm not going to go to church or whatever, it's because there's an internal problem with their relationship with God, and it has nothing to do with that church necessarily. It has to do more with what that person is going through and not having that connection with God already.
Right. It's like a waste of time.
Mm.
It's like, oh, whenever I went to church as a kid, I had to wake up in the morning and I had to go to church and I came back and then my family didn't even talk to each other after that.
Right.
My dad wakes me up, says, all right, son, get ready for church. Get ready, button up your shirt, leave, come back, and then go back to your normal day. It's like, man, why do we even have to do that?
Right.
You know? Yeah. So it's unfortunate, but it is the truth. So let's okay. Let's do a little funny question now.
Funny question. I like funny questions.
From my good friend Ethan.
Ethan.
Ethan David.
Ethan David, what did you ask us?
He asks me.
You, not me.
Well, you can answer this too, okay. But I don't think you have an answer to it.
All right, go ahead, hit me.
Who is the best soprano?
The best soprano?
Yeah.
Well, are we talking about musicians here?
You are a funny guy. This dude's talking about the sopranos.
Like the best soprano yes. singer.
Yes, as in, no, as in Gabagool.
Best soprano.
From you're researching soprano characters. You're not even going to know the depth of them.
No, I'm talking about singers.
No, this isn't singers. This is The Sopranos on HBO, the great television show, one of the best television shows ever made.
Oh, so not person like from like Christine Flagstad, who's a singer.
You even looked and up soprano singers.
Classical
you,
music.
That's so funny that you didn't even, when you were looking something up, you didn't even look up an actual answer to the question. You looked up the answer to a fake question that you also didn't know the answer to.
Well, he didn't say episode or show or whatever. He just said Sopranos.
But right after he types Gabagool.
Oh, okay. I see. Yeah, I've never watched Sopranos. So I cannot
that
give you an answer for that.
That
yeah.
is embarrassing.
Sorry.
Sopranos is one of the best. It's a masterpiece of television.
Never seen it. So I guess that question is totally for you. Go for it.
All right. Here I go.
Go for it, man.
Now I got to think, right?
You got to think.
Because.
Would you like me to talk about it then?
Talk about what?
Well, just in case you have to think silently.
No, I don't have to think silently. I can let my thought process go through.
All right, cool.
So a really good character is Christopher Moltisanti.
Mm.
But he kind of is crazy. He earlier on in the series, he's one of the more innocent characters. But then he kind of goes a little crazy.
Cray-cray, huh?
I don't want to spoil The Sopranos for anybody, so I won't say how he goes crazy. But he goes a little crazy. He also has a beautiful girlfriend named Adriana, but she's not technically a soprano. Mm-hmm. No, not that. That's the wrong thing that you're referencing. Sorry. Tony Soprano is great. Ah, man, who is the best soprano?
Who is the best soprano?
Oh, this is so obvious. Silvio Dante.
Silvio Dante, eh?
Okay, so Sil is the best soprano because he's never been a rat. He's never betrayed Tony Soprano, the main character. I would say Tony Soprano, but he's a little too emotional. Tony Soprano, that dude crazy. Okay. He's always screwing up. Mm. His son is the worst. It's not going to be Polly Walnuts because Polly Walnuts he's not a rat, but like at the same time, he's got some problems going on.
Mm.
Right? You can't say Sal Bopensero because he is a rat. Right? Sorry, spoiler alert. Mm. Sal is a rat. All right. So all in all, Silvio Dante is the best character. Simply because he is the most loyal, but he also talks to everybody like respectfully, but also with like this, you know, don't be stupid type of thing. He's a good guy. He's got a beautiful wife. And that's really all there is to say. Best soprano is objectively Silvio Dante. If you don't count Furio, because Furio, even though he wanted to get with Tony's wife, was a good man.
There you go. From someone that's never watched it. That's interesting.
You kind of sounded like Tony when you said
there
that.
There you go. I hear you.
Said, that's interesting.
That's interesting.
You should really watch The Sopranos, man.
I don't know.
Why not?
I don't know. Maybe one day. It's Sopranos. I don't know.
We'll Sopranos see. Is considered to be one of the best television shows ever made.
I believe you. I've never watched it, though, okay?
Okay. I'll never watch it, though, okay?
I know it's about mafia, right?
It is about the mafia.
Yeah. No, no, no.
Like The Godfather, yes. They actually talk about The Godfather in the show.
Really?
Yeah, but they don't like it.
Get out of here.
Well, actually, one of them doesn't like it.
Oh.
Because they're like, oh, all these mob movies making us look like, you know, whatever, whatever.
Get out of here.
Yeah, it's just how it is.
Unbelievable.
All right. Shall we move on to something a little bit more
How many more questions do we have?
We have two more.
Two more.
Two more questions.
Yeah.
This one's from Andrew.
Andrew.
Hello, Andrew.
Andrew, your friend?
Andrew, my... Actually, wait. Should we get to that one last? I feel like that's a big one.
All right, the big one, we'll do it
for
last.
No, actually, no. We'll do that now because there's another big one that is not as dark as this one.
Okay, so there's two big ones.
Andrew asks, do you think, and I don't know with this because I don't have any thoughts or opinions on this.
So you're not going to say anything?
Well, I could maybe say something in response to your thing.
Okay.
But he asks, do you think that you would get into heaven if you commit suicide to save other people?
What? So
I didn't read that part eventually. I didn't read that when it first came up.
To save other people?
Like, if you sacrifice yourself to save other people.
Wow.
Right? So, like, I think commit suicide might be the wrong term. It's more like, I don't know, like, what if throwing yourself in front of a bus saved, like, people, but you died?
Then that wouldn't be suicide.
Right. That wouldn't be suicide. Nice going, Andrew. That's called sacrifice right there.
Is that so? What does he mean, sacrifice or suicide?
I couldn't tell you.
Well, maybe you should text him and ask him.
Well, I'm not going to do that now. It's going to take up time in the podcast. Oh. So let's say this. Let's answer two questions because I feel like one of them is very simple. Will you go into heaven even if you sacrifice your own life for somebody else? The answer is yes, right?
Yeah, absolutely, because after all, that's what Jesus did.
Exactly. 100%. Like that's simple.
He sacrificed his life for us.
Now, here's the big question. Yeah. If it is suicide,
right?
Which is very, very touchy, very deep subject here.
Right.
But this is raw. Right. PK Podcast Raw. So what will you, because again, I don't even
Well, it's not so then the question really isn't committing suicide to save others.
No, right? we needed to answer the question separately. Right, sacrificing yourself versus... That has its own answer.
So someone
committing suicide, would you go into heaven if you committed suicide?
All right. So that is a very good question that he may not have asked, but we'll answer it anyways. before I go into it,
yeah,
I would say that that's not only tough, but it's like very real.
Yes.
So I knew of a young lady in Jacksonville whose mom committed suicide. Mm. And she asked me, this young lady who then became a woman. I knew her when she was a kid, but then she was, I think she was 20 by this time or maybe 18. I'm not sure. She was still in college. So I think she was maybe 18, 19, 20. So anyway, she asked me to do the funeral for her mom. And that was very tough. So this is what I do know. I do know that we do not know the extent of a person's brain wavelength of when they're doing something to themselves or something gets done to them.
Right.
So I know that suicide, and this is very sensitive because people that are listening to this may have had suicidal thoughts. People that are listening to this may have actually attempted to commit suicide.
Hmm.
And so I kind of like I'm treading on water here a little bit.
Yes.
Because I'm sharing something in a few amount of minutes that
is
for
huge.
Sure needs to be talked more about and in a lengthy way.
Right.
To be able to explain the thought pattern of what I'm sharing. So I will try to be as brief and concise as possible. So let's say I'm a person that commits suicide.
Okay.
And in the midst of me dying, there's a portion in that part where I am still capable to communicate with God.
Yeah.
And in that portion, I realize, wow, what I've done is very selfish for taking my life. And now my family's going to suffer, blah, blah, blah. Anyways, in the midst of all of that, I have an opportunity to say sorry, right, to the Lord. And I believe that during that time, whatever that time is happening in your brain, that Jesus tells me in the Bible that when you confess your sins, he'll forgive you and clean you from all wrongdoing.
Yeah.
So he makes you right, and he makes you right to stand before God, and he makes you right to be in heaven. So I think at that point, which we don't know, right? That's why we can't judge. Like, I can't be a person, oh, that person committed suicide. They're not going to heaven.
Right, exactly.
I would never say that because right. I don't know.
You don't know.
I don't know. I can't judge anyone like, oh, that person got killed because they did something bad. Like, let's say a person goes to rob a bank and he gets shot.
Mm-hmm.
Be like, oh, yeah, that person's not going to heaven because they got shot in the midst of doing something bad. Well, I don't know.
I'm
not judging.
Yeah, it's not the... The type of death that you have alone isn't what determines your entrance into heaven.
Right.
Right.
So, but I would say this. If there was a, before the suicide, God knows.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I'm saying.
After
the suicide, that's what's important.
God knows.
Exactly.
There is a story in the Bible where Samson is in this Philistine place, and he tells God, God, you know, I want to kill them. Give me strength for one last time. And so he's able to throw down the pillars, and everybody dies, including him. You know, people say, well, that's because he was in a war zone, and, you know, he was committing, you know.
It's like a kamikaze.
A kamikaze kind of. Yeah, exactly. Well, you know, in a sense, it could be regarded as suicide. In a sense, it could be regarded as, you know, he was still fighting. But what we do know is this. Is that in the Bible, it talks about Samson being in the hall of faith. In other words, that dude is going to be in heaven.
Yeah.
So if that's the case, then there's more to it than what we know. And there's not something that I can say for sure, oh, yeah, if he commits suicide, they're not going to go to heaven. And people can argue that till they're blue in their face, and you can totally disagree with me, and that's cool, that's fine. Just don't comment on it.
Yeah, I just think
but
that...
I think that's important to understand that we are not the judge of a person's destiny.
This is what kind of gets to me when it comes to people, the entitled, prideful Christian, right? Is that people feel like because they think something, like that they have the answers. The fact that people truly believe that they do understand what suicide means to your entrance into heaven,
mm-hmm.
in regards to that,
right.
I think is so, like, out of this world when it comes to ignorance. Because how are we allowed, how can one think that they truly understand the rules of how to get into heaven? You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, that really is something that only God determines.
Right.
You know? So to add on these things, it's like, man, you almost kind of put yourself in the position of God.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
You're not allowed to judge that.
Mm-hmm.
So I think the best answer to that question, even in you know, in like a simple form, is I don't have the answer for you, man.
Right.
I can't tell you. I don't know what was going on through their heads.
Yeah.
I don't know where they were at spiritually. I don't know.
And I think also that goes along the same lines of, let's say that you overdosed on drugs, right? You weren't intentionally committing suicide, but you
right.
were
if it was an
drugs.
Accidental one, right?
Yeah, you're taking drugs, and your life gets taken. You know, I think again, only God knows.
Yes.
What's gonna happen?
God
with that
only
person.
Knows what you can do.
And that's just huge. You know, I think we need to remember that. That part is important to remember when it comes to our destiny. God is the ultimate judge, and he knows all things, and we don't know, period.
Yep, I agree. And also, you know, it is a very touchy subject, and I think it's something that deserves a lot of time to be talked about.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, regardless of the format that this is in, I'm glad that we got to talk about it anyways.
Right.
Because if we're going to get very vulnerable, I mean, I've talked about my mental health before, but, you know, I have had thoughts in the past of doing that. And kind of the point I always come to is, like, pain is not all that life is. My life has been given to me for a reason.
Hmm.
And I think that, you know, a lot of people say that So I think that it can kind of become a monotone phrase for some people, something that doesn't mean a lot. But in reality, it goes pretty deep, because after life was tainted by sin, God could have stopped production on the human race. But he didn't. And I think that that's huge, because I'm alive, right? I'm alive because God saw a reason in life, regardless of the sin that plagues it. And I think that you can do so much as a living person. And I think that, you know, one day of bad things, 1 week, 1 year, 2 years, 10 years of terrible, terrible pain is not an entire lifetime. No. Though it can feel like one. Trust me, it can feel like one. I know it all too well. But life is so valuable. It's so valuable.
And if you're struggling with this, I just want to encourage you to talk to someone.
Yeah.
Talk to a friend. Don't try to live this out on your own.
Yeah.
And go down a very sad rabbit hole.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, there's also, if you can't find someone to talk to right away, you can call. Call 1-800-273-TALK. That's 1-800-273-8255. Yeah. It's a suicide prevention lifeline, and that'd be a very good thing to do if you're struggling with this.
Yeah. Yep. That was deep.
Yep.
And that was, but I think it was important. And it made me feel weird again, just because talking about my own personal experience, you know, it's not something that I take lightly, because it's a very heavy feeling.
Mm-hmm.
It literally makes your body feel anchored down.
There you go.
But regardless of that, I think. Man, how do we even transition from that, man?
Well, you wanted to have this one before the other question.
I messed up with that one. I didn't think it'd get as crazy as it did.
That's okay.
Or at least that I would feel this way, personally.
Well, what's the last question? I can answer it.
Yeah, well, I mean, I can answer it too. I'm just saying that finding the transition from that into the next thing, like, right, going like, with that said, let's do this. It's not something all that, right, like, I can very naturally do.
Okay, I'll say it. Next question.
Yeah, next question. But let me just say, be glad to be alive. Life offers many beautiful things. And
amen.
I would argue that when people say that life is pain with little moments of happiness, I would argue that if you can say that, then I can also very well say that life is happiness with little moments of pain.
Come on now.
Because in reality, they're just as long as... The only reason you feel pain is because you felt happiness in the first place.
Well,
or promise it.
Come on now.
All right, guys. This is the last question.
Last question for season 3 Q&A episode.
Season 3 Q&A episode. Here we go. You ready?
I'm so ready.
Here we go. So why would... Oh, this is... I didn't even... This is from Emily.
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 Emily from where?
Emily from Orlando, Florida.
Emily from Orlando, Florida. What
here
do you got,
go,
Emily?
So why would God, in creating all things perfect, create a tree that the fruit could not be eaten? I understand there's free choice, but in seeing the downfall it would cause, why even create it in the first place? If humans were to mess up the entire world using free choice, then let it happen their own way, not by a tree that you created. And then it says in parentheses, not putting the blame on God.
Oh, but Emily, you are. How can you say you're not when you are?
Dang, chill. Get off her case.
I'm just saying, don't put that at the end if that's what you did.
I don't know. Well, maybe she's not talking from her own perspective. Maybe she's talking from just like a purely, like, maybe she's been asked this before.
Yeah, but she didn't say that.
Well, dang, Dad, just trying to give the woman the benefit of the doubt.
All right, Emily, we'll be nice to you now.
Okay, so why would God do that? Why wouldn't he just let, if humans were going to mess up, why didn't he just let them mess up? Why do you have to hit him with that?
Well,
with that tree.
Not knowing the infinite greatness of God.
Correct.
I could simply say, I don't know.
I mean, that would be my answer. because I could answer you, well, because it was, at least I think it was a a test of humanity that he probably tested all races with and other races passed, right? Like other races that he created in other worlds and other stuff like that. They probably passed. So it's probably not just humans, probably everyone. He did that to test the strength of his creation, right? And to see if they would join him in heaven, right?
Right.
There's that. But in reality, the actual answer is, I don't know.
Well, God is an all-wise God, and there is a reason to everything, and sometimes we don't know those reasons. But I will say this. Before there was a tree on earth, there was a perfect place called heaven, and those perfect beings also had the power of choice. But one of them, with no tree, decided to be like,
interesting.
I am going to tell everyone that I should be God. The created being, Lucifer, decided to want to become the creator, but there was a problem. He was created. Therefore, he could never be the creator,
yes,
or a part of the three who were the creators. And so he got mad that he couldn't be just adopted into the creatorship world, and henceforth he started a rebellion, and he chose to start a rebellion and be able to destroy all of, you know, the people that were up there with his sin. And then a third of the angels chose to go with him, and then he was thrown out into all the creation that God had made. And we have some proof that he was out there trying to tempt other worlds when Earth was along to the ones that fell. And so why have a tree? Because without that tree, there is no power of choice between good and evil. Without that tree, it could have been, maybe, because we're just talking here, right? We really don't know because we're speculating.
Right, right.
But without that tree of choosing whether I'm going to take that fruit from that tree, even though God said no, there really isn't a choice. They're just like going around here living the good life. And by this time, sin was already in the world because Satan was already around. And so, unfortunately, there had to be God saying in his great theocracy, and his great, you know, being king and God of the world, he had to say, okay, you know, people are going to have to choose whether they will want to follow me or follow Satan. And unfortunately, Satan was already around, and there had to be this deciding factor of, I'm going to follow God, I'm going to trust God, or I'm not going to trust God fully.
Right. It's like a devil test. You know what I mean? Because, like, in the sense of you create heaven, you create all these perfect beings, you don't create a test of their faith, right?
Mm-hmm.
You don't create that test, and yet you still have a rebellion sparked from nowhere.
Mm-hmm.
This dude was like, what? Okay, every race I'm making, I'm giving them a thing.
Right.
Because technically angels, right,
mm-hmm,
just as any other alien, right, they are created, you know, they're created by him.
Mm-hmm.
So he makes these things. And again, with the first thing he made, he was probably like, what's going on? Okay, I'm putting this little tree here because I'm trying to see if my other creations are about to pull a stunt.
Yeah, and I think as I think about it, it even shows more of God's mercy and love, because he could have thrown us out there to the wolves, right? The devil could have chosen, okay, will I gather their loyalty? In this case, God said, here's a tree. If you touch it, if you go to it, if you partake of that fruit,
mm-hmm,
you will die.
Yeah.
Don't do it.
If anything, it was probably the most ultimate form of communication. Like,
exactly,
when people talk about having good communication in a relationship,
mm-hmm,
right? God doesn't put a tree in heaven when he makes all the angels and that thing happens. So because of that thing happening, now he's like, okay, I need to make sure to communicate with all of my creations plainly, like my thing. Here is this tree. Don't eat from it. I'm telling you, please don't eat from that tree.
Because when you do, you will die.
Because if you do, you will die. He didn't just put the tree there and go, pretty crazy tree, huh? Right? He put the tree there to represent its own form of rebellion, right? Because the devil's eating of the fruit, of the beautiful fruit, was the lie of being a creator, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. To them, eating that fruit is that it's the very same temptation that was born within the devil himself, mm-hmm. right? So in that sense, it's
says
just
you'll
like
be like God.
Yeah,
that's what the devil said.
Exactly.
To eat. He says if you eat this, he knows you'll be like God.
So it really is again that thing of it's communication. It's the same of like me with you, Dad. If I had a previous experience like in a workplace where something happened, like let's say I was doing another podcast or something and something went wrong, I would be like, Dad, yo, here are the circumstances for this podcast. Because if this happens, if it goes through like this, we can't be doing this.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So, and you know, it's that's the talk I have with my dad before every single podcast. I go, Dad, no, no, you cannot talk about that on the podcast. My dad wants to talk about evil things on the podcast. Guys, I got to stop him every single time. He knows it's going to pull away our ad revenue, our millions of dollars we make every podcast. But no, I think, yeah. And again, saying all of this, to me, it makes sense, right? And mm-hmm. I think it should make sense to other people too.
Right.
But with the preface, we don't actually know.
Right. Because God is infinitely wise and we don't know all the reasons. But we are simply speculating here.
Yeah, we can make some
based on
educated
some,
guesses.
Based on some biblical understanding.
Educated.
But I think that, again, I see God's mercy and love through it because he specifically said, don't do this.
Yeah, he didn't just put the tree there and go, nice tree.
Yeah, he said, don't do this, you know. Unfortunately, you know, that happened, and we are where we are right now. But I've had some very healthy discussions for many years with young people in Bible classes and stuff like that. That was like, it'd be better off to live without free choice, that we would just be robots doing whatever was good. And it's been very interesting. So I know that Emily's not saying that.
Right.
But I am thinking that there is this thought out there of like, you know, if we didn't have free choice, we would be better. But then again, we are humans. We have the power to choose right and wrong. And what's interesting is that there's actually a few places in the Bible, specifically I'm thinking the Old Testament, where God tells his people, if you do this, like he says, here I have blessing and cursing, for example, is one of them. I have a blessing and a cursing. And then he tells them all the great things that will happen with his blessing and all the bad things that will happen with the cursing. And then he actually tells them, choose life. Like, we're so dumb that he has to tell us that we should choose life.
Right.
And the people still don't choose life.
Yeah. It's the flaw of making free creatures. Because I don't think angels are mind controlled. If they were, then the devil wouldn't have done that. You know what I mean? So when you make free beings, that's the risk you take. You know?
Yeah.
So in a sense, yeah, we would be better off if we were robots because everything would be perfect, right?
Right.
But God saw the value in freedom above that.
Right. God saw the value in creating human beings that could choose.
Right.
Yeah.
Or beings that could choose in general. Because again, I mean, we see that the angels can choose.
Right.
They were able to choose a side, you know? So yeah, I guess that's the answer to your question, Emily. How do you stop blaming God for everything and start looking at yourself for once?
Wow, that was Nico, not me.
Just kidding. Love you. But yeah, that's all the questions I got, man.
All right. Thank you so much for those of you who actually asked this question. I just like to post.
My dad is so hurt over that.
For future reference, when we put out a post for Q&A, we actually want you to ask the question, not just like it.
They look at it
or
they
love it.
Well,
most nice, you can like it or love it, but ask us the question.
Well, most likely those people aren't actually looking at the caption. They just see the picture and they like it and they scroll.
Yeah, I know. It's very easy to like the way we look on the picture.
We look pretty cute.
I understand that.
Took a few tries.
But just ask us a question next time. But we appreciate you being part of the, the PK podcast.
Yes.
For those of you who ask questions, thank you so much.
Thank you very much. You will forever be engraved in PK podcast history.
That's right.
Thank you so much for listening. Thank you so much for listening at all to any of the PK podcasts. We love, and appreciate that you listen to it, and we hope that you share it with more so that they might feel blessed and they might make others feel blessed. and continued on and on and on and on until we rule the world.
Till we rule the world. And I think together, this will be...
We can rule the world.
No. I think that together, this will be our last episode for the year. You and I doing this together. I think this will be the last one.
Yeah.
And so we hopefully will have a season four. We'll see what happens. But we thank you so much for being a part of season three and hope that you were blessed with some of the episodes. Let us know. Hit us up and share it.
Thank you so much, everyone, for listening. Once again, this has been the PK Podcast. I'm Nicholas Rodriguez.
And I'm Juan Rodriguez.
God made you special.
And he loves you very much.
Bye.